I'm surprised, pleasantly. You're here at all, Archibald, I said.
You are referring to my apparent skittishness of recent weeks?
Your words, not mine, I said, working to keep a straight face. He raised his eyebrows.
I do not recall, do you, any diktat from the hierarchs to the effect that we must not make tiny holes in pieces of foil and allow the light of the sun to fall on paper? Our position is unassailable.
I hadn't thought of it that way, I said. I almost feel a little let down that we are no longer breaking any rules.
I know it must be an odd sensation for you, Frau Erasmus, but you may get used to it after a while.
Barb didn't get the joke. We had to explain it. He still didn't get it.
So I wonder if, perhaps, one of these ships went missing, Tullia said.
Went missing?
Leo repeated.
Like its crew mutinied and they headed out for parts unknown. Now, thousands of years later, their descendants have returned.
It might not even be their descendants,
Archibald pointed out.
Because of relativity,
Barb exclaimed.
That's right, I said.
Come to think of it, if the ship could travel at relativistic velocity, they might have gone on a round-trip journey that lasted a few decades to them, but thousands of years to us.
Everyone loved this hypothesis. We had already made up our minds it must be true. There was only one problem.
None of these ships was ever built, Leo said.
What?
He looked as if we were about to blame him for it.
It was just a proposal. These are nothing more than conceptual drawings from very late in the Praxic Age.
Just before the terrible events,
Barb footnoted. We were all silent for a while. It takes time and effort to tear down and stow away an idea you were that excited about.
Besides, Leo went on, this ship was only for military operations inside the solar system. They had ideas for ones that could go to relativistic velocity, but they would have been much bigger, and they'd have looked different.
You wouldn't need a nose cone,
said Barb, which was his idea of hilarious.
So, if we buy the idea that what Ayla and I saw, the Blue Sparker, was a ship in orbit that was using this kind of propulsion system,
I began, nodding at the diagram.
Then it must have come from an alien civilization.
Archibald said.
Fra Jesri believes that advanced life forms must be extremely rare in the universe,
Barb told us.
He followed the conjecture of Saint Mandarast, Archibald said, nodding agreement. Billions of planets infested with unicellular glop, almost none with multicellular organisms, to say nothing of civilizations.
Let's speak of him in the present tense. It's not as though he's dead,
Tullia pointed out.
I stand corrected, said Archibald,
none too wholeheartedly.
Barb, when you were talking to Jesri of this, did he have some alternate theory?
Tullia asked.
Yes, an alternate theory about an alternate universe,
Barb cracked. Tullia mussed his hair and gave him a shove, which was a mistake because then he wanted to get rambunctious. We had to threaten him with anathem and make him go outside and run 5 laps around Schuf's Dalmont before he would settle down.
Talking about where this thing might have come from is a sidetrack to the main discussion,
Leo pointed out.
Agreed,
said Archibald, so authoritatively that we did agree.
It came from somewhere. Who cares? It settled into a polar orbit around Arb and stayed there for a while.
Doing what? I said.
Reconnaissance, said Leo. That's what polar orbits are for.
So they were learning about us, mapping Arb, eavesdropping on our communications,
learning our language,
Tullia said. I went on.
Somehow Orlo became aware of it.
Maybe he happened to see the deceleration burn that took it into polar orbit. Perhaps others did too. The Panjandrums knew. They sent word to the hierarchs. We are putting you on notice that we deem this to be a secular matter. It is none of your business, so butt out. And the hierarchs dutifully sent out the order to close every Starhenge.
Inquisitors were sent to make sure it was done,
Leo said.
Fra Paphlagon was evoked to go somewhere and study this thing,
Tullia said.
He,
said Archibald.
And perhaps others like him from other consents.
the ship stayed in orbit. Maybe sometimes it would adjust its trajectory by firing those engines, but it would only do so when it was passing between Arb and the sun to hide its traces.
Like a fugitive who walks in a river not to leave footprints, Barb put in.
But yesterday, something changed. Something big must have happened.
Gardan's Steelyard says that the course change you and Ayla witnessed and the unprecedented sixfold Voco less than a day later must be connected, Arcibald said.
I had been avoiding the sacred relic. That had to end. Ayla had given it to me for a reason. We unrolled it on the table and weighed its corners down with books.
We can't figure out what it did unless we know the darn geometry, Barb complained.
You mean of the pinhole and where the screen was situated up in the Presidium? Which way was up, which way was north? I said. I agree that we have to take all of those measurements.
Barb started backing toward the exit, ready to take those measurements at once.
But I held back. I wanted to do those things as badly as he did. But here was where Orlo would have proposed something brilliantly simple. Something that would have made me feel like an idiot for having made it too complicated. I could think of nothing like that.